Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you? Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly magical about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and ordering a pizza with no anchovies. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, MC Hammer's backup dancers, Sean Pryor and AJ Vince. How the heck are you guys?
Oh, yeah. If you could see me right now, I am busting a move.
Yeah.
Baggy, as they say.
Pants.
Legs are going crazy underneath.
I am just too legit to quit.
So I did a MC Hammer dance for my talent show when I was in second grade.
No, you didn't.
There's still a VHS of it.
No. Well, you're going to have to give that to us.
I think it's time that...
it would be important for us to see this.
I'll tell you what. If we hit... we are at 20 reviews on Apple Podcast. If we hit 50 reviews, I will release that VHS in full.
Get him in there, guys. Come on. We need this. I did like 20 cartwheels for a talent show one time and ran into a teacher right after. So
100 reviews, and we will see Sean's video. And we'll, of course,
killed her.
You killed her?
No, she's gone.
Oh, she's dead. Oh, my God.
Well, that was the episode. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Well, speaking of reviews, let's hit that old review time. So this comes from Wes. He says, with a title, My Childhood Explained. I went to high school with Sean and love the videos he's done with AJ. As far as Mike, amateur race car driver, amateur hockey player, amateur rock star, professional podcaster, I dig it like coal.
All right.
Do you know who Wes is?
Yeah, I think so.
Wes is a great dude. I play hockey with him. That's how I met him.
Oh, yeah.
Great dude. Loves the podcast. Wes, we appreciate you tuning in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
And that's us all. That's so cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't ask you to do this.
We seriously did it. Thank you, Wes.
Swear to God.
Every episode we have to reiterate.
Let's just say the first couple might have been we asked people to do those.
I'm just saying.
But hey, if you've been enjoying the podcast, we're so glad to have you here. If you haven't done so already, leave us a review on your podcast platform or Facebook. We're going to read it on air, probably say some nice things about you. If you've already done a review or if you listen on something stupid like Spotify, who doesn't allow reviews, here's your mission for the week. Take this podcast, personalize it, pick an episode, and share it with someone who you think might like it.
You know,
it's a very friendship thing. Like, hey, you like Keanu Reeves? My friends on this podcast talked about Speed. You should listen to this.
I do like Keanu Reeves.
And then you go, here you go. And
Neo
you send the
himself?
Link. It's so easy, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Just pick. I mean, we've done one of your favorite movies.
We have.
We're what? 11 in? 10 in?
Like 12? 12? 12?
Yeah. We've, out of all the movies that have ever been made, in these 12, one of them is your favorite movie.
Agreed. And your friend's favorite movie.
Exactly. Share with them. Give them it.
Well, we also have a brand new feature we're excited to announce. Apparently, a lot of people were super mad with our low ratings of Three Ninjas. Like really mad. So we decided to do something very stupid, possibly a huge mistake. We're going to give you our phone number. And you can call us. You can leave us a voicemail. Try it right now. You can let out all that anger and frustration.
No nudes.
No nudes.
We can't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that. Yeah. Just leave some anger and frustration on the voicemail. Tell us that you love us. Tell us you hate us. Put us in our place. Leave some deep thoughts. Whatever. We're going to use some of those voicemails on some future episodes. So
I know my brother Chris has one fucking ready to go.
He's sort of the guy I was thinking of.
He's very mad at me.
So our phone number is 319-804-9596. This is not a joke. 319-804-9596. Do it. Give us a call. Go straight to voicemail.
Holler at your boys.
Holler at your boys.
Literally going to holler at us.
I can't wait to see your pure passion and anger with Three Ninjas or
perhaps Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Perhaps Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Who knows?
So before we get started, though, I have to tell you guys a story.
Please.
I didn't want to tell you about this ahead of time because I wanted it to be natural reactions from you. So I was in Breckenridge. Lodge a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, get away. Get on the slopes, fucking ski, like shred some gnar-gnar.
Get your mind off of things.
Oh, it was so great. So I had a couple beers, a couple whiskey shots on the list, had to pee. I go into the bathroom. There's a guy sitting in a toilet stall at the end, and he has his phone on so fucking loud. He's sitting on the toilet just listening to TikTok videos, like louder. And it's just like, hey guys, just want to tell you, skip. And it's like, yeah, skip. Hey guys, want to tell you, skip. Like, and it's just so loud. You can tell he's just an employee.
Got my driver's license last week.
He's just an employee sitting there, just taking a break. And I shit you fucking not. All of a sudden, the Confused Breakfast TikTok where we talked about Bob Barker.
You're out of your mind.
No, literally comes on and he listened to the whole fucking thing.
Damn.
Bam, son.
And then moved on to some girl shaking her ass or something. But I could not fucking believe it. I was pissing, laughing my ass off. I mean, we have a TikTok. It's up to like 150,000 views, which is really nothing in the grand scheme of things for TikTok.
There's a lot of people on there.
But I was wondering, like, did it legitimately just show up in his For You page because he really likes that's his TikTok?
Yeah.
Or is there some weird AI artificial intelligence that knew that I was in the same room
as him? They triangulated your position.
And they just go, oh, let's see if these guys like each other's TikTok videos.
So I wonder which you watched of his.
Ooh,
that's true.
I didn't see his face.
It's one of those videos probably where it's like a bald guy who has a lot of piercings on their face and he's just kind of licking the air like he's good at eating vagina.
Eating his face.
Yikes.
I kind of wanted to stick around, but I mean, like, he was doing some damage too. There were some noises coming from the toilet as well. And then I just wanted to leave.
That's the equivalent of, you know, like having your music out there and then like someone like jamming to it. Like in the car or something like that.
And then you go, hey, that's me. And they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I'm Mike Schulte. No, I'm serious.
No, the Confused Breakfast. That's my annoying voice talking about my burger. So
that's
I didn't want to tell you about it. I just thought that was kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
Super rad.
You guys can also follow us on the old TikTok. We've been making some of the podcast into nice little fun videos. So it's at Confused Breakfast. Check us out.
Yeah, why not?
In Breckenridge, I snowboarded 40,000 vertical feet in 3 days.
Oh.
What my body felt like is what I imagine one of the characters from today's movie felt like after getting jumped by the Foot Clan.
That's right.
Happy to announce our movie, 1990 smash hit, spawned a cultural evolution, including 6 more movies, believe it or not, as well as countless toys, cartoons, and pop culture references. We are talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The epitome of like the late 80s to early 90s kids, like that's what they know. There's merch, there's all this. People can like recite the cartoons as much as they can, and then they love the movies and some of the best looking on-screen pizza in the entire world is in these movies. You know, like it is a phenomenon.
So, well, as always, before we get started with the full movie breakdown, we like to give you that important that everlasting background information on the movie that our boy Sean checks out. Sean, what do you got for us today?
Well, I can tell you. Produced by David Chan, written by Todd W. Langan and Bobby Herbeck, directed by Steve Barron. Every single music video you've ever heard of, he did.
Wow.
If like look up his credits, he did like a lot of David Bowie, a lot of Prince.
Really?
He did some Michael Jackson. I think he did a couple NSYNC things. Really prolific in that. And then he also did Coneheads. So we got to love him for that.
You just said every music video. Oh, and by the way, Coneheads.
Yeah. Like literally TMNT is sandwiched between Level 42, Heaven in My Hands, don't know who they are, and Aha, Crying in the Rain.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
The music videos. But speaking of music, music is by John Duprez, edited by William D. Gordine, James R. Simmons, and Sally Mink. Film people out there might know, is a longtime editor for Quentin Tarantino. And she passed away, I think, right after Death Proof.
Wow.
And so now he's got a different one. But long, long time collaborator of Quentin Tarantino. This was her first movie, and actually she got fired off it. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Starring Judith Hogue, Elias Koteas, Josh Pius, David Foreman, Corey Feldman, Kevin Clash as Splinter, and James Sato as Shredder. The script was based mostly off the TMNT comic stories, but had some elements from the 1980s animated series. In the 1980s, the first pitch of the film was from Roger Corman, who was a producer of like a lot of schlock films back in the day. His motto was like, it's got to have tits and it's got to have like a like violence at every five minutes.
Pretty smart guy.
So the idea was to have comedians Gallagher, Sam Kinison, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Billy Crystal play the turtles.
You've got to be shitting me.
That would be the loudest movie of all time.
Can you imagine the fucking absurdity that would be?
How about make that movie, but don't make it the Ninja Turtles? Just make it four dudes.
We could just, can they just redub this movie with them? Like somehow? Like, can they just get voice actors?
Well, the actors would have just worn turtle shells and painted their arms and legs green.
Oh my God.
Another treatment had more of an R-rated Corman kind of style to it, with a scene featuring nude nuns and roller skates fighting the heroes.
No way.
Yeah. So there's a better movie out there and that hasn't been made yet. $13.5 million budget, filmed mostly in location North Carolina, with some shots mostly exterior taking place in New York City. The crew had access to abandoned Brooklyn subway for the most of the sewer scenes that they decked out and made look like a sewer instead of a subway. Jennifer Beale, Marissa Tomei, Sandra Bullock, Nicole Kidman, Brooke Shields, and our queen, our dark princess, Winona Ryder, were some of the many names considered for the role of April. Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, Christian Slater, Lou Diamond Phillips, Emilio Estevez, Kiefer Sutherland, and River Phoenix were all considered for Casey Jones.
Ooh, that some of those could have worked.
Yeah, I think Christian Slater would have worked.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely River Phoenix, too.
Oh, yeah.
Professor Tori Tanaka, who is Rushmore in our last film, Three Ninjas, was considered for the role of Master Tatsu before the role going to Toshishiro Abata.
So this was before he was ultra famous from Three Ninjas.
Exactly.
So he could have got the role.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know why he's a professor, though. I like, when we did Three Ninjas, I legitimately tried to look it up, but like, what's his PhD?
It's his first name. I guess. Just professor.
He's professor of kicking your ass.
That's right. Jim Henson of Sesame Street fame and most puppeteering films of the 80s created the turtle suits and costumes. The suits were first made of fiberglass, then molded out of clay, then molded into a whole body latex. The whole process took 18 weeks.
Good for
it. That's kind of what they do today to like make like prosthetics and masks and stuff like that, is they make clay and then they pour like silicone and latex into it. Disney, Columbia, MGM, Orion, Viacom, and most every other major studio turned down the film for distribution. Then a small company, New Line Cinema, also known as the House That Freddy Built, because of Freddy Krueger and the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. New Line Cinema picked up the film for the distribution rights. Live Entertainment, Inc. would pick up the physical media rights via Family Home Entertainment at the suggested price of $24.99. And Live Entertainment actually, do you guys know the Menendez brothers? Bit of true crime?
Yes, yes.
Their dad was the head of that company.
Wow.
And so when they shot him to death, that's you paid them money to get their shotguns, probably. Because you bought TMNT. So
that's a deep issue. I don't like being a part of this.
Just have that in mind.
Deep, dude.
I don't like this.
This is better.
So had Bobcat Goldthwait and then got the role, the Menendez brothers never would have shot their dad.
That's probably right.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Man, the universes we could glide through.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut engages in a $20 million
flap of a butterfly's wings. God damn it.
Pizza Hut engages in a $20 million marketing campaign, even though Domino's is featured in the film, which is really weird.
Yeah.
The film was the highest grossing independent film, making $135 million domestically until 9 years later when the Blair Witch Project would dethrone it.
Ooh.
And that's what I got for that.
Let's before we move on, how about that cover art?
Yeah.
The photo of the four turtles peeking out of the manhole with that giant city line like panning up behind them. I remember seeing that and just being like, oh, this is the coolest photo I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And it was genius.
It was so colorful and like had like some mystery behind it, and it reminded me of the video games and everything too. And like, yeah, I loved it so much. I have to say I have the DVD pack though too, like because I'm a nerd.
Now, like how many DVDs are in that? Three? We're talking the original three?
So there's the original three, and then you also get TMNT, like the cartoon one, I think.
Okay.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Nobody
Not
has.
That stupid. but I've watched all the other three. So,
yeah, absolutely.
but yeah, that's I remember seeing that, and on the DVD, they have these little bonus features, right? and there's a game you can play with your TV remote that says in the description it says navigate your way through the sewers with the arrow buttons on your remote to find the pizza.
And was it's it just, fun?
It's no, it's terrible.
As a kid, maybe?
I can't even imagine as a kid. Because there's just like you're just literally like mindlessly clicking the buttons until you find pizza. It's like Cowabunga, you found the pizza, and then it just goes back to main
menu.
Now
go find more.
even though you say that that's like not fun whatsoever, and you're right, it's not fun. But guess what doesn't do that? Netflix.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh.
It just changes to another movie, and that's what I'm saying. Physical media. You had games in there, had some like special features. Get that. Let it resurrect itself, yeah. Please. Buy some Blu-rays and DVDs, you guys.
I imagine it's probably like if Pizza Hut gave out the movie or like as like a $5 addition to your order or something, this is the game that would be on it.
I get it. Makes sense. Well, as we mention in every episode, we like to give the audience just a little bit of insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it, where we were, what our rating was. So, AJ, this was your choice. Let's hear your story on this.
VHS, no rental, baby. We owned this VHS.
You gave that money to Menendez.
You bought that.
We bought that. Straight cash, son. And... we had this. I remember that buying this. We had this one. We had Secret of the Ooze, and yeah, we had the third one too, all on VHS, all purchased like when they came out. But I remember this one very specifically. Doing the rewind stuff at certain parts. Most of the time, it was based around Casey Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember constantly going and watching this movie. We would watch it after school. We would watch it when friends came over all the time, man, when we were kids.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
What was that rating as a kid?
Rating as a kid, I mean, it was probably, I mean, we got to be at like the 9.4.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you're ever going to give it a 10 from a childhood, but that's 9.4 is 9.4, pretty big. That might be the highest you've ever given.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it so much. Like, you're just, but also there, it was really cool because they said like damn and stuff, you know?
Five
it's like,
times man, to be exact.
Oh my God, they just swore. And, oh man, that's crazy. Huh? We're so cool.
What about you, Sean?
I mean, yeah, probably VHS. I think I have the VHS still. I gotta say, like, I don't really remember this one as much as I do Secret of the Ooze.
Right.
I think we watched that more times than this one. But I do remember certain scenes and everything like that. And so I gotta just kind of base it off of TMNT love and yeah, go, I was probably 8.5.
Yeah.
8.5, yeah.
I have a extremely vivid memory of this that I've remembered. It's one of those first things I can think back to and be like, wow, I remember that so vividly. My mom used to take a girls trip to the Ozarks with her friends for like a weekend, right? Friday through Sunday. So it was boys time, right? Dad had me and my brother and we'd go do fun stuff. We'd go to the zoo or do whatever. I'll never forget 1990. I was 8 years old. Dad goes, taking you to a movie. We're going to go see a movie at the theater. We're like, oh shit. Oh, okay. We never go to the theater. What? It's exciting. What are we going to see? He said, I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to have to.
Wait,
just,
what? Dad?
Yeah. What? So we walk into the theater. I didn't even try to listen to him ask for what movie he was trying to buy tickets to. I was just like, I don't know what we're going to see.
It was barbed wire.
walked right past the, I could have looked up and seen what movie was playing. Did not look at it.
All the advertisement just, fucking everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And we sat in our seats and it was this the opening scene of this movie where you still don't really know what it is.
That's true.
And we're going, I don't know what this is. What is this? And all of a sudden, when you finally see the turtles, it was pure unbelievable joy to be like, oh my God, we're watching the Ninja Turtles movie. Like, so fucking vivid. I was a 10. I mean, like, yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I was the perfect age for this movie. It was so awesome and, like, great dialogue and action and great fucking soundtrack.
That's awesome of your dad to do that, man.
Isn't that a cool thing, right?
Yeah.
So that was a super vivid memory for me. I think we were all obviously pretty high on this one as a kid. So before we get into that full scene by scene film review, we'd like to let AJ bring us back down with reviews, you know, with critical reviews and ratings. You know, we thought it was a 10. Yeah. They're going to probably knock us into the, what, 7.2 on IMDb?
So high on that nostalgia, and then you just got to, like, bring us back down to the real world where we don't ever... You're bringing us back down to, like, taxes.
Yeah. We are in taxes.
Do your taxes, guys.
The tomato meter on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a 40%. From the critical reviews.
Okay.
40%.
Okay.
Absolute crazy difference to the audience score, which is 81%.
Yeah, there it is.
That's where it is. So we have our, obviously this is a fan favorite movie. Like, people love this movie. And this is another movie that's actually kind of tough to get bad reviews on. There's a lot of good reviews. I tried to skip most of those. Okay? If we go to...
I like it. It's awesome.
It's so good, man, when the Turtles beat up the Foot Clan.
Remember when they did that? That's cool, right?
Casey Jones shows up. Oh, man.
Thanks for reading.
Bye. And so 6.8 on IMDb.
Oh, we
actually
almost got there.
You were almost there. Man. So we're in the sixes. So, you know, we're in the sixes. I was surprised by that. The Chicago Tribune, Gene Siskel. The only thing this film has going for it is its improbable title and title song about four fighting turtles changed into upright man-sized creatures.
Improbable title?
Yeah.
So wait.
No shit.
So they don't feel that it was an accurate title.
So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay.
Yeah. I guess it's an improbable idea. But
right.
Wow.
Thank you.
Good writing.
Thanks, Gene. Roger Ebert said, the most interesting part of the film for a non-Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan is the production design. The sewers and the city streets above them. Roy Forge Smith is the designer and seems inspired by a low-rent vision of Batman or maybe Metropolis. That's what he thought was good about this movie.
Oh, so that was the good thing.
That's what he thinks is good
the
about this
low-rent version of the Batman.
He gave it a 63.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. That's about right on par. Yeah. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles never rises above its marketing hook's origin. It's a product, a commodity, a toy tie-in, a trailer for the comics, an advertisement for the cereal. It's a naked sell. Going right along with it, Entertainment Weekly. When a kid's flick has nothing to offer but cute special effects, it's easy to think the filmmakers are patting themselves on the backs for their technical ingenuity. That's not comic fantasy. That's marketing.
As far as that goes, I think there's many other like horrible, deplorable offenders of that, of like a marketing money grab.
Yeah.
And that's Batman and Robin.
Okay.
off the bat.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
That movie was made to sell toys.
Yeah.
Strictly.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a fact.
Yeah.
It was the design of their stuff was made by Mattel or something like that. It was from the toy company.
No, you're going to need to change that because we can't make that into a toy.
Ooh, we already made the toys, so.
They did. They made them first. And then they got Jim fucking Henson on this movie? Like, you're going to call that a marketing grab?
That's a good point.
Jesus.
We'll have a personal review here. In 99, this is December 22nd, 1999. This is called Not Bad. Even though I grew up on Ninja Turtles, and I'm not much of a fan anymore, I admit I watch this every now and then. It's better than most people expect it. It's pretty funny. It's Casey Jones, and the movie is more violent than the cartoons. Good movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, Mike, you mentioned, I think last time, about Eric's bad reviews.
Yeah.
I went and found
his
review on this. I was like, well, let's see what he has to say on this. And I'm going to pull the last paragraph for you of his review. In terms of action movies aimed at young, developmentally disabled children, this one is harmless and unmemorable. But let us all be grateful the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle craze died out as quickly as it did, and that more than a decade has passed since then. We as Americans can be forgiven for that brief indiscretion, considering how long we've been clean now.
What happened to this man? Your joy center in your body.
I kind of want to get him on the show.
See if he'll give us a phone call.
Yeah, 804-9596.
There we go. So that was a D rating, and that seems to be low in the median there for this. About a C minus is what most of the critics are really averaging this out. But all the fans love it. A lot of fans just really love this movie. It's really tough to find a bad review from just an average watcher, and even the bad ones are pretty nice, you know, because it's so much childhood, I think. Nostalgia locked into it. So,
well, is that it? Is that it for the information, the review? Should we do this?
Yeah, I think we should do this.
All right, so let's pick our favorite colors, weapons, and Italian Renaissance artist names. And in an effort to stop saying the most overused phrase in podcast history, here we go.
Whoa.
Reporter April O'Neill explains that a major crime wave is happening in New York City during the evening news broadcast. That night after her report is over, she stumbles onto members of this mysterious gang and is about to get jumped when the streetlight goes out. Minutes later, the cops arrive and shine some light onto April. The thugs are tied up from unknown protagonist, and she finds a strange weapon on the ground called a sai. She puts it in her purse. Deep in the sewers, we are introduced to our heroes, four humanoid turtles, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, and Raphael. They are joyous about their victory as they return home to see their master, who is a human-sized rat named Splinter. As the turtles wait for their celebratory pizza delivery to arrive, Raphael, distraught over losing one of his size, decides to go out to see a movie. You like that?
You ready?
You go ahead.
I just like him dressed up in the fucking trench coat and the fedora. Man.
As a kid, I totally bought it. No one would recognize him. He's got a hat and a trench coat on. What? Dude, and Splinter had just got done yelling at him, like, were you seen? And talking about, like, invincibility. And he's wearing a trench coat.
It's okay. The collar pop. It's fine. Yeah. Like, no, dude, your head is... like a fucking bowling ball, had rings of Saturn around it, you know? Like, Jesus Christ.
And the shell, too. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, how is he even going to sit in the seat?
It's just my backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a secret agent with a turtle shell backpack?
Yeah. Can you imagine someone dressed like that with a huge hump on their back, trench coat up, and a hat on, trying to get into a movie theater right now? Like, it's not going to happen.
No less.
Yeah, no, the only theater he's walking into is, like, one of those XXX ones, man. Like, there's no way.
I want to get like to the beginning where it's they haven't introduced the turtles yet and everything like that, and like the crime's running rampant. We got April kind of giving us the gist and everything like that. I see there's like people stealing skateboards and stereo systems, she says, and I'm just like, doesn't sound like Robert. Sounds like people are trying to get a little too radical.
Yeah, dude.
Get them fucking skateboards. Like, they're stealing kid shit. You know? Yeah. As we'll see, like, later when they're in the lair, when it's fucking tight as hell.
That's why people really aren't that mad. They're like, yeah, it's just skateboards.
Yeah, it's like, the most petty theft, like, you can think of. Like yeah, car stereo is actual, like, property damage. But, like, stealing a skateboard is basically borrowing until you find it again. It's like, my skateboard! No, it's stolen! It's like, oh, I misplaced that thing. Where the hell did it go?
Yeah, I had my Darkstar sticker on it, man.
Dang it. I just 50-50'd on that.
Well, and did you notice the really intricate exchange of wallets at the beginning?
Yes.
Like why did it have to keep changing hands? And how hard would that be to hey, when you see me turn around, that means you need to start walking and I'll hold it in my left hand. You grab it with your right hand, but then Bill's going to come around the corner. Yeah. Then you give it to Bill. That's impossible.
What kind of Oliver Twist kind of street grab and smash and grab bullshit is this?
Well, and these New Yorkers are just like so immune to it, it seems, because there's a shot of someone's fucking crotch. Yeah. And then, like, a kid, like a little hand, just like digs into his pocket and takes the wallet. He's like, "You didn't feel that? What the hell, dude?" He's distracted by the NY Times, I guess.
Dude, those seedy streets of New York.
The scene, this worked for me. The scene where the teens are there, they're attacking April. And the turtles show up where they knock the light off. So supposedly there was supposed to be a fight scene there. The turtles were supposed to arrive and you were supposed to see them. But they production didn't have enough time to choreograph another fight scene. So they opted for the light to go out, which for me as a kid worked so well. And it still kind of did that anticipation of like, we still don't see the turtles yet, but they're there, and we know they're there, and you're so excited to see them.
Builds a little bit more excitement.
It totally did, because picture me in the theater still not knowing what movie I'm seeing. I'm like, why did the lights go out? That kind of looks like a Ninja Turtle sigh, but I don't know if it is. You know, I mean, that actually ended up working for me, I think.
Okay, yeah.
I completely agree. I didn't realize that it was just a faux pas, like an issue with their... you know, time and whatnot, but I think it does. I think it works really well. It adds to that mystery. It keeps a little bit of a shroud on him, and it adds to the idea of, you know, you're a ninja. You're not supposed to be seen. Right. You know what I mean?
So Were you seen?
I lost a sigh.
Let's just get it out there. Crush on April.
Yeah.
I think so.
More so in Secret of the Ooze, right?
Crush on April.
Yeah. But yes, this time, I'll tell you what, more so this time watching it than last time.
All right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're just like, okay, I get it.
And
okay.
Ever since they dropped, huh?
Well.
Did you read up on...
I dropped a sigh,
but I can get it back. Did you read up on Judith Hogue, though, about how she wasn't very...
She was pretty difficult on set, apparently, and they didn't ask her back for the sequels whatsoever. And she did not have a good time whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
It sort of shows in her acting, because she's a little... She was very charming. I thought I actually really liked her in this movie upon second watch, but you could tell... I felt like she wasn't really acting. I felt like some of that snarkiness was like probably her actual personality.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think that's fair.
One of the kids, Sam Rockwell, is like one of his first movies of all time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
One of the punk kids is Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
It's crazy to see him. So I did not know. I was like, is that Sam Rockwell? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, fuck.
I did the same thing. I saw him. He was there, three or four times in the movie. Yeah. I'm like, who is that?
I never made that connection except for the fact like he seems very familiar, but then I thought I just recognize him from when I watched this so long ago.
Ninja Turtles.
Well, speaking of like all dams and stuff like that, like the wry flippant use of the word dam for a PG movie is like kind of cool. Like you were saying, it's like I think it makes this movie like more punk to me. Like it's like on the cusp of the late 80s, like right into the 90s, but still got that like seedy 80s like New York tone to it, which I really like, and it having those swear words in there just kind of put that over the edge for me.
This was PG, right?
Yeah.
So five, he said damn five times. I like five to count times. Swear words. He said five times.
Well, and it's like basically one, for the most part, really one of the first things you hear one of the turtles say. He says, "Oh man," and then it's just damn, and they put the thing back down. And he's just like, he just takes full advantage of it, like especially when he's just standing on top of that mountain eventually. But like like all throughout this movie, Raph just takes advantage of that word, man.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Tough New Yorker Raph. So Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
30 seconds, bro.
Is definitely one of my favorite lines. Yep. I hadn't seen this movie in 20 years, and right as it came up, I nudged my wife. I go, "Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds," and he goes, "Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds." How do you remember that? And then that made me look up some stuff. So that the pizza guy was actually Michelangelo's stuntman.
Right. Most of the people who did.
Who were inside the turtle suits
have a cameo at least one place or another in the movie.
He was kind of cool. The pizza guy was Michelangelo. The guy that played Donatello was one of the Foot Clan. And the guy that did Raphael was a passenger in the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the next scene where there's was that a turtle?
Like, what was that?
Was that a turtle? I don't know. It was like a turtle in a trench coat.
Looks like a turtle wearing a trench coat. You're going to LaGuardia, right?
The guy in the back seat was the one that was actually inside the Raphael costume.
Yeah, Josh Pia says Raphael is the only actor to play the voice and physical work of the character. Yeah. So. And then the rest are like Corey Feldman wasn't in the suit or anything that. But like,
I wish he was.
I even Corey Feldman hearing his voice, I'm like, oh shit, that's Corey Feldman. Yeah. Like, I had no idea that he was in this movie.
I didn't know that as a kid, that's for sure. Because this would have been, I mean, like what, Goonies would have already come out.
Oh, yeah.
He would have been, I did read, so Corey Feldman said he was offered $1,500 to do the voice work.
That's all he got.
That's all he got,
that's all
right?
He got paid was $1,500.
He accepted, believing the producers who told him that this was a small, low-budget independent film, hoping that it would have moderate success on VHS if they were lucky. And the movie ended up making millions at the box
office. That's...
Oopsie.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of Flap of Butterfly's Wings, if he wouldn't have made that deal, we certainly wouldn't have got Corey Feldman and the Angels nowadays, right?
Okay. All right.
So I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be just working his ass off for a music career right now. So I think we should feel pretty blessed.
Oh, I do. We're better people that Corey Feldman existed.
Yeah.
Speaking of that pizza guy, you would think that they wouldn't be so stingy on a tip or anything like that. Like, being Ninja Turtles and loving pizza so much, like, that's their thing. You'd think they'd have like a good rapport with delivery guys. Like, you think they like just be like, oh, I'm delivering to the sewer again, you know? Like, they would probably give you an extra pizza or something like that if you tip them well. Like, they would probably like, oh shit. Like, these guys tip really well.
There's
like,
some guy in the sewer that tips really well.
Yeah, why are you like, that's your entire life is just pizza and being a ninja?
Yeah.
Give the small man some fucking credit. Give him like $20 or something like that. Jesus.
You can't tell me that like the pizza delivery guys don't talk about it. Like, oh, did you get the sewer order this tonight? who got the sewer order? Huh? Did you make it there? Oh, man. Oh, I didn't make it there last time.
Their fingers are huge.
It was, dude, it's crazy, man.
I was like, I don't know how they made money. So maybe it was just a spare thing. Like, that's they just true. Found some random cash. Like, okay, we have $12. Like, that's it. That's all we got. Do you ever remember that being a thing for pizza companies where they'd say it would be
30 minutes or
it would arrive in a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
Because that also happened in Home Alone, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I guess I never ordered a pizza.
I mean, I wasn't the one ordering pizza back then, and that responsibility never fell to me. But you always heard about it in movies way more than you heard about it, or like just in real life. Maybe it's not a Midwest thing.
Maybe that was like marketing people going, come on, pizza companies, do this.
We're trying to get them to catch on.
They also said that Michelangelo, in all of the cartoons and comic books, loves anchovies.
Yeah, right.
So that was a weird choice for them to say that he hates anchovies in the movie. They just said, oh, whatever.
Don't know why. Some weird script maneuver.
Yeah. Why is he so adamant about telling them not to put anchovies on? Why don't you just not mention it?
Yeah, don't say a word about
it. What pizza guy is just like, I'm going to throw anchovies on it? Maybe they did that as a gag because they know who's calling this stuff.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Maybe
like,
that's what it is.
It's like, oh, it's this guy. I know this guy. I'm putting anchovies on this Dick's pizza. Like, I don't know.
Pepperoni, banana peppers, and anchovies? Did I hear that? I think I heard that right.
I did, yeah.
I'm going to slap them on there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along to scene two. After the movie, Raphael runs into a gang of thugs, and while trying to beat them up, he is interrupted by a masked vigilante named Casey Jones. Casey and Raphael begin to fight each other as the thugs escape. Casey gets the best of Raph, and he returns to the sewers. April O'Neil correctly theorizes that the mysterious Ninja Foot Clan is behind the rising chaos. The Shredder, leader of the Foot, orders April silenced. She's attacked by the Foot in a subway and knocked unconscious. Raphael emerges from the shadows, defeats the Foot, and carries her to the Turtles' hideout, unaware that one of the Foot is following him. Splinter then explains to April that he and the Turtles were once ordinary animals, but were mutated into intelligent creatures by toxic waste and trained by Splinter in the art of ninjutsu. Mm. Lots of ninjutsu lately on the podcast, guys.
Which I believe, and most of the time we've been talking about it, it's not actually ninjutsu. It's just different karate forms. They make a big point of that in Three Ninjas.
Fancy name.
And I have no idea about Ninja Turtles, though. So
yeah, I don't know if ninjutsu is like an actual martial art. I don't think it is.
Ninjutsu means the act of being a ninja or something.
Right. Yeah.
The heart of a ninja. It means wearing weird clothes.
Yeah.
Satin sheets.
So when he encounters Casey Jones asks, "What are you, a punker?" It's like, no, he's a giant fucking green monster, dude. My God, run!
What are you, some kind of punker? No, I hate punkers. I love that line.
Did
for
you
some
like
reason.
Casey Jones as a kid? Like,
yeah.
I was way into Casey
yeah.
Jones.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was dope. I've been Casey Jones for Halloween. That's
that
one
mask
of my,
is pimp, yeah, too.
So cool.
It's one of my, like, it was one of the few times is like, most of the time, my Halloween costumes consist of things that I just have. And
so,
like
golf
already,
club, hockey stick, yeah. baseball bat.
I put them into
cricket bat.
I put them into like an old like golf bag yep. that I had strapped on my back. I ordered like an $18 like you know hockey mask, and that was it. It was Casey Jones.
Grew
like,
your hair out too?
I didn't grow my hair out, but you know.
It's his getup is badass.
Oh and yeah, it's so cool.
It's so weird to see Elias Koteas in this role as a younger man. And knowing that he's like in David Fincher movies now as just like the police guy,
he's probably Bald the most famous yeah. person in this movie.
Oh, like, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, maybe Corey Feldman, but like he prolific career wise, Elias Koteas is like a serious actor now. You know,
yeah, yeah.
It's so weird to see him in this role and like so young and handsome.
Really. Yeah,
yeah.
I always had a problem. Like, why did Raphael have an issue with Casey Jones there? Like, they should have. Casey Jones was doing what like yeah. Raphael would have done to him.
I got the vibe where he's like, when we're the vigilante guys.
Okay.
And so like he didn't want like another citizen to be like taking up that mantle.
Okay.
That's the vibe I got. But
I think that's fair. When he does when Raph kind of like knocks these guys and jumps them and he. It's like he points to his side like it's a freaking gun. He's just like, they probably don't even know what that is, bro. They're just like, that's not why they're scared. They're scared because you're a giant fucking turtle. Like,
you need to realize this. A trench coat doesn't cut it, buddy.
Yeah, like that is why you look like some sort of like. Bloated dead Zorro, like you just got pulled out of a river. Like, do you understand? Like, this is what you are.
They're scared of my weapon.
Rigor mortis Zorro.
Just like I'm telling you, and it's like you're pointing to your side. It's like they didn't look at that at all. They don't even know about that shit. Nope. They jumped that fence like superhumans, like as fast as they could to get away from you. And then right, like Casey Jones goes to. Inflict his class 101 pain, you know, whatever he calls it.
Does all his hockey references and
yeah.
it's pretty awesome
his
puns.
It's great. You know, two for slashing, two for hooking.
My personal favorite. 2 minutes, high sticky.
High sticky. What about 5 minute, 5 minute game misconduct, pal?
gotta add the two dudes talking about sports in
yeah,
the movie.
Yeah.
I gotta say that at this point, the movie hasn't done a lot of like setup for me.
Okay,
like it doesn't like it. It's if that was just like a passing. I mean, everyone knows the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but like as just like a movie. Like if I just went to see it and I didn't know, like I knew about it, but didn't like watch any of the comics or watching the cartoons or reading the comics or anything like that, I'd be like, who the fuck are these?
Yeah.
Cause it's not, they don't like run it down yet anyway.
Yeah. They're getting there
they're
with
getting
April,
there.
But
it's, I don't know. It seems like it should have happened earlier, but I don't know like how they would do it. Do you guys know what I mean? It doesn't like do much setup for me yet. But there's also so much that has already happened.
Yeah. It's almost like a...
It seems... Sorry, one... Like, mm-hmm. Raphael going off on his own seems like it should happen later in the movie.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
It happened, like, four times. They could have probably just had it happen that one time
sure,
on
right.
the rooftop, but, like, he just kept going out on
yeah.
his own.
Yeah. And, like, it seems like there... It was almost like this approach for one of those, like, very ambiguous starts to a movie.
Yeah.
But there's too much... I feel like there's too much already known about Ninja Turtles, maybe.
That's kind of what I gather, too, where, like, if yeah. you're a fan of it and you know about it, then you kind of don't really care,
yeah.
which I don't. I'm just saying that's, like, how I felt.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And like, and then you try to do this, like ambiguous start to it of like, what's going on? Who mm-hmm. are these guys? It's like you can't do that. They're the Ninja
yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah.
Like, they're big green turtle-y things. Like
they're teenage mutant Ninja Turtles.
I don't like that title.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems improbable.
fucking Christ.
Well, we just made a movie, Gene. fuck. But yeah, like I agree with you. I totally get what you're saying. I feel like I like how it just kind of I like how it just kind of jumps right in.
I think so.
And
too.
You kind of just like you just kind of have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And just like and I don't know this point at this point with Casey Jones. I love it how it's kind of his intro into it. I love how they just like threw him in and mm-hmm. he's not like they didn't give you like the whole like, oh, Casey Jones, he's kind of stalking around like a detective of sorts. Yeah. It's like, no, this dude just comes out thrashing with fucking.
And they never really explain like, why are you doing that, Casey Jones?
Where do
like,
you live, man?
what are you doing?
Yeah. Like you get some background later on, but it still doesn't like allude to anything about why he just does this and beats people up.
Why do you have a hockey mask?
Why do you only wear it one time and then never again?
Dude, it's such a shame.
It sucks.
That's a cool mask.
Yeah, so cool.
That's such a dope mask. All his fun sports references. One of my favorite lines is cricket. You got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
Just like, what? Yeah.
Huh? And obviously, I never even understood that as a kid. I didn't know what cricket was.
No, and
I didn't know
when he goes
was.
Six runs, yeah. Which is, I guess, is a home run in cricket. Yeah,
yep, exactly. Whiffer. That was another one of my favorites.
Whiffer.
I think after the scene too, we get like some shots of like people in New York and stuff like that, like homeless people and like I don't know, like. Just random people around New York as extras. But, like, to me, I'm just saying, like, you know what? On second thought, some of the fucking urchins roaming around New York today, a giant green turtle probably wouldn't be so
that's
shocking.
Actually, pretty
like,
true.
Like, seeing someone take a shit, like, right in front of the subway, you know, I was like, then a turtle walks by, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
I'm into it.
That's fine.
I guess, I mean, we're only a couple blocks off of Broadway. It's probably just somebody coming from a set. I don't know. Like, somebody's just in a play.
Yeah.
It's a costume.
It's a costume, right? It's a costume. It's definitely a costume.
In that little segment, we get our first glimpse of Shredder. And I had to laugh because I didn't as a kid, but now as an adult, why is it that every like villain from the 80s, 90s always has a wall of TVs?
Yes.
But they're always like the same channel. Yes. They were all the same channel.
Why do you need to see it that many times?
At least maybe put like the hockey game on one of the channels while you're hanging out.
Well, it only had one receiver, Mike. So
that's very true. Yeah.
And it would continue, that like tradition would continue to like, even the Matrix, or like one that made the sequel. I mean, he was watching several different things, but still, giant
wall of TVs,
giant wall of
12-inch televisions. Okay, so let's move into scene three. After the turtles return from escorting April home, they find their hideout was ransacked and Splinter kidnapped. They return to April's apartment and spend the night there. Danny Pennington, the delinquent son of April's boss Charles Pennington, works for the Foot Clan. After bailing Danny out of jail for robbery and truancy, Charles stops at April's apartment where Danny glimpses one of the turtles hiding. He reports this to Shredder upon returning to the hangout of the Foot Clan. After an argument with Leonardo, Raphael goes to the roof of April's apartment building where the Foot ambush him. He is knocked unconscious and the turtles scramble to defend themselves, assisted by the arrival of Casey Jones. He's back. The building catches fire during the fight and the turtles narrowly escape. Lots going on there. That's a pretty meaty section of action.
Does the turtles in an apartment really like get your guys' anxiety up? Just because I'm just like, I don't know how big that apartment really is, but can it fit giant green turtles with like huge shells on their back and like not knocking over lamps and everything like that? Yeah. I would be like, nah, this ain't for a regular person.
Don't sit on my cat.
A small woman. It's not a giant green turtle apartment.
Another fun fact is about owning the DVDs, you know, if you're on my level, is you also get bios of each Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
So here's a fun fact. What they actually say that the turtles are about 5 foot tall.
They're supposed to be. Are you saying in this movie?
That's what they're listed as. Like Raph and Leo are 5'1", but like Michelangelo and Donatello are like 5 foot.
Oh shit.
And so, but even then, like you're still a turtle. You still have like
5 foot, 400 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, not the length, it's the girth.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the width. Okay. So you can't tell me that just so, they have to weigh like 250 to 300 pounds. Yeah. Still, they're like they weigh the same as me, and like plus a backpack. You know what I mean?
Plus a really heavy backpack.
Yeah. It's just like, so you're right. That being said, I also, you guys, so Charles, I have to talk about Charles.
Charles Pennington.
I have to talk about Charles.
I was like, are they hooking up?
Yeah. You kind of
what's going on here?
You kind of get this vibe that it's just like, you know, we had our fling, but, you know, we're not together anymore, Charles. You can't just come over here and try to
rescue
me.
I'm into that.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Kind of like.
You can't just come over here whenever you want, Charles.
Yeah. Kind of like
give me
Susan
my key back
and Davenport from
yes,
that's my vibe I get from them. They used to be together, but maybe they're still here and there. But I don't know.
Is that her son then?
Oh shit!
Right. Danny.
It doesn't work that way. Like, it's the opposite. Like
right.
Where,
oh,
yeah, you where right, she right. would have known if that were.
Oh. Oh yeah. I don't have kids.
No kids for me.
So Charles is just like, see, that's what he does when he wants to ignore me. It's like, you are the worst, like, kind of father figure. Like, you're quintessential right now, Charles.
Damn it, Danny.
Danny.
Yeah, he's like,
Danny, get back here.
He puts those earphones in. It's like he doesn't exist.
It's like, doesn't exist. I don't even know where he got those things.
Music in the 90s when it was still the devil music.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what do you think? There's only one right answer of what he was listening to in those headphones.
I mean, he was wearing, was it a Johnny Rotten shirt the entire time?
Yeah, Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious.
So it, I mean, like, Sex Pistols. He had two different shirts on the movies, and they were both Sid Vicious shirts.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that as a kid being like, Sid?
Sid. I know. So I always called him Sid. I never called him Danny. I called him Sid when I was a kid.
Sid?
Fan theory. That same Sid is the same Sid from Toy Story.
Oh, okay.
Okay, bye.
All right, great.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Sean actually just left you guys. I thought one of the coolest, scariest camera work moments was when they realized that Splinter was gone. They got back into their place and that the camera rotates around one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets shaky and it goes right. He goes, Splinter! And it goes right into his dark, shadowy face. That was creepy as fuck.
That was pretty cool.
As a kid, it worked.
It's very rattling as a kid. You know what I mean? Very rattling.
I thought that was a super cool scene.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, gotta do like a cool camera trick to really like, really get it into the audience.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is weird. What's going on?
I'm in his mouth. Yeah.
Gets you into it.
Turtle ate me.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Foot Clan's hideout? Sign me up for the fucking Foot Clan.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
MC Hammer, this is what we do.
This is what we do.
Do it. It's fucking amazing. Like, think about it. They had loud music playing.
Yeah.
Skateboard ramps.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, video games, kids gambling.
Yeah, yeah. They're playing like roulette. It's like, okay, are they really following the rules? Come on.
Who taught them roulette?
Yeah.
That's not
Where's
easy.
Where's the pit boss at here? I don't know about that, man. Who's doing check-ins?
And we got another case of terrible childhood actors.
Yeah.
When they're in this thing and they're showing some kids playing, they're smoking, playing cards, and one guy turns over his cards and they all throw their cards down. And this one particular kid goes, and he puts on a stupid face.
I gotta say, you guys, you know, I love the Turtles. Who doesn't? Like, they're just so charming, and like everyone kind of wants to be them as a kid. But like, who wouldn't want to be part of the Foot Clan?
Who doesn't want that? Like, I'll just go there, hang out, and just like maybe pretend.
Yeah, I mean, we've already said like the luxuries that they've had. Like, let's break it down even like a little bit more. You're training with a dude covered in knives.
Yeah.
And you're training to defeat monstrous fucking turtles and a sewer rat.
Yeah. Actually doing good for the
they
world.
They might be good guys.
I feel like they could be the good guys in this, you know?
It's like Karate Kid where looking back, it's actually Danielson. Right.
You're training to defeat monsters with your best friends.
Yeah.
It's the Monster Squad.
It was a bit of a multi-level marketing thing going on there, too, because they bring them in as young kids and let them gamble and smoke and play video games, and then you can see then there's the next phase where they're training to be ninjas.
Right.
So, like, get them in the family, make them feel cool, and then start training them.
Yeah.
Don't start training them right away.
Yeah. Couple things on this. I at any point, I really expected anybody to just yell, Rufy, oh!
Yeah.
At any point in time, and like have him just like skateboard in and just drop in and with his stupid smirk on his face. And because he would have fit right in with this crowd. I also love the kid who's shooting pool with a massive cigar, just Cuban, in his mouth. It's just
Arnold Schwarzenegger size.
Yeah, exactly. He's railing on that kid like a champ.
Did you guys notice the dude shredding the fucking face?
Just
to MC Hammer.
Moloch is just going wild on this
not
bass.
Not plugged in whatsoever. Like, that's especially a bass guitar. You're not going to get much resonance.
He's just like fucking nailing it.
Sitting up there just hanging out with the kid who's playing video games. Yeah. Like soundtracking it for him.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then Skeet Ulrich was one of the kids. I think he was one of the kids that was like being like trained to fight.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know who.
He's just like a Scream.
Scream. Jericho. Okay. Jericho. The TV show.
Yeah.
Jericho.
Heartthrob in the 90s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's like really small bit part in that. But I was like, oh shit.
Oh shit, yeah. Doc.
Skeet Ulrich and Sam Rockwell.
My other issue with this is unfortunately, guys, as much as I really love this idea, when I was a kid, we had kind of a church that did the same thing. So there was really some hard similarities. They bring you in and they feed you pizza. And
no cigarettes.
Well, no, they just had menthols at this one, but at this church. But when they do, you got to play video games and air hockey, and they had this whole cool thing. And then all of a sudden, you go into this other big room, and they start trying to get your information to have you sign up for their church. And you're just like, I don't understand what's going on anymore. I thought this was just for fun.
You're being indoctrinated and brainwashed.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
And so you're listening to some guy talk about his rough childhood, and he's in for, speaking to you, and then they give you a card to sign up. But then afterwards, you get more pizza. Oh,
back to the pizza. To the bubble hockey.
Yeah, then it's you're safe.
You guys probably don't know right now, but you probably will when you're older. You guys, I mean, cocaine's a hell of a drug. And also, I hid that balloon up my ass for two weeks. I did get it through customs, but I'm just here to tell you, believe in God.
Believe.
Who wants more pizza?
Yeah. And welcome our next guest, Jars of Clay. That's a really, wow, I really like that correlation there. I mean, this is the proof, like offer free stuff and a fun hangout and a family thing. You can get kids to do whatever you want.
You do whatever you want, make your own rules. You're a part of our family now, and we want you to do this now.
There was a moment when they were doing the huge, like the first really big fight scene where the foot ambushed them in the apartment and the fire started. I noticed how much better that was than Three Ninjas immediately. Music, the background music was really cool. It's like kind of getting you going, and there was like zero hi-yas. I don't know if you noticed that. Like no one hi-yad in this movie at all.
And if there was, it's like they were kind of making fun of themselves, you know? Hi-ya!
Yeah,
like that kind of a vibe.
Yeah, they're like, we're ninjas. We'll
do it here and there, I guess.
Hey, Paul, you forgot to hi-ya on that one. Oh, I'll get him on the next one.
Watching any movie after Three Ninjas, I was like, why does this seem so quiet? I need to turn this up, and it's because there wasn't aya, 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 over and over and over again. It's just like I was watching like a live concert. I'm like, this seems tame.
the fight scenes are really great. I think they're choreographed really well. Now I have to also mention, going back to the foot, they obviously get them. It's like they're breeding them to be the foot.
Yeah.
So what is the process then of becoming a foot member? Because the guys they're fighting have to be in like their late 20s.
Like they've been around for a while.
They've been around, right? Like these dudes have been around for a while, and now I don't feel like I want to humanize these goons as much, okay? Because if they have that kind of breeding going on in their whole system, but the fight scenes are really good, and I love like the showdown, the nunchuck, fellow chucker, huh?
Fellow chucker.
I love that stuff.
That entire time though, you're just like doing tricks, like you could be taken out, like
totally.
So many, like everyone just kind of stops and watches. I'm like, guys. Yeah. There's a fight going on.
Yeah. There's 100 of you. You guys can all literally just go up right into these guys and kill them.
Oh no, it's like being mesmerized by the puck in hockey, you know? It's like, I mean, I guess it's like kind of like a hypnotizing thing.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I'm not buying it. I don't like it.
They have the dudes that charge in there, and like some of them are holding like 10 axes. like they're bringing in fucking inventory, and it's like, it doesn't seem productive. It's like, here, oh, here you go, guys. Here's Steve. There's yours, and there's John's axe.
Jeremy, you forgot your axe.
You're bringing the axes, guys. We got a lot to do in here.
Like, one of these axes will eventually start a house fire.
Yeah, exactly. I just had a real problem with that. Like, let's just bring in the two guys that they'll just bring in the axes later.
I kind of want to go back to the origin scene where Splinter is kind of going back and telling how he got to where he is. Mm. That scene was filmed deliberately different to be like a 16 millimeter kind of more look rather than like 35 millimeter, which made it more grainy. And a lot of it was stop motion, as you can tell, but some of it was actually real turtles, and some of it was like
really
the real rat and stuff like that. And I'm just like, it's so cute.
It kind of was.
It was like watching, you guys like scroll through Facebook and you watch those like videos from like woofwoof.com or something like that. And it's like an abandoned dog. And it's like kind of telling you like this dog was abandoned until, and then you get an ad, and then you have to like, you have to like watch it all the way through just to make sure the dog is okay. Yeah. And then you can keep scrolling again. That's kind of like what this scene was to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
AJ, have you ever heard of woofwoof.com?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. You guys got to get there.
I'll have to look this one up.
Maybe I don't know if you want to look that up.
Make a donation. So
like a furry website. What's up?
What?
Woofwoof.com is not a website. You guys, all right, I just looked it up.
Buy that domain.
You heard it here first.
All right, so scene four, they decide to hide out at a farm that belonged to April's family, and everyone pitches in to make the place more livable while they wait for Raphael to recover. Once he does, the turtles reconcile and resume their training. April and Casey Jones begin to fall for one another, obviously. Duh. Despite their absence from the city, Shredder is bent on finding them, telling his main henchman, Tatsu, that their method of fighting reminds him of something of the past.
Ooh. Hmm. I wonder what.
I wonder what and why.
Tatsu.
Seeing...
Well, hold on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Chill out. While meditating, the turtles are able to communicate with Splinter. Splinter tells them how proud he is and that they have mastered training of the mind, becoming true ninjas. The turtles decide to return to New York to find and rescue Splinter. Now you can go.
It's shocking to see, like, them in the daylight 1-1. And then, like, in the background of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house that they're at, it's shocking to see like a wide shot of the turtle like next to a house, and it's like almost like, I don't know, it's like uncanny. Like, I don't know why. It's like close up, it's fine, and like kind of dark lit in like a sewer, and like they're fighting and everything, that seems okay to me. But like a wide shot of one of them, but like with a house as reference next to it, yeah. So seems really weird to me.
You didn't like that?
I mean, I did not like it. It was just kind of like, it's just uncanny to me.
You can't be in the sunshine.
Exactly. Yeah. They said you guys need water, right? Reptiles.
Did you notice upon, I actually tried to look it up and there was there's no reason why, but Michelangelo is basically not in any of the scenes and does zero speaking while they're at the farmhouse,
right.
Get to the fire.
He's the incapacitated one?
No,
right?
No, Michelangelo's orange.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just not in any of the scenes and doesn't say a word until they finally get to the fireplace.
Huh.
Yeah, and April even goes through the idea of like each of the turtles. She says nothing about Michelangelo at all. Like, she only mentions Donatello and Leonardo.
Do you think that was a weird, like, I tried to find a reason. Maybe there was a reason, but there was nothing.
It's one of the few things that you're like, how the fuck did you miss this?
He's
like,
the most popular one.
Exactly. He absolutely is. Like, I don't know, but I did notice that, and I'm like, they never give the background on him.
They never
all.
Do.
What do you guys think of the romance of April and Casey Jones?
I didn't buy it. I think April just came off of a weird relationship with Charles Pennington.
Yeah. Yep.
Charles. And she's just looking at anybody she was looking at the turtles in a nice way for a while. Like, she was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, she's coming off this like kind of straight-laced dude, you know, and she's looking at the bad boys, you know. She's got to go through that weird post breakup thing, and you know, do her.
She's got to get hers.
Yeah, and I think that's her vibe right now.
Get the hockey players, yeah, but then leave them. You know,
right? You don't you don't stick around with Casey Jones.
No,
you know your body. Eventually, she just became the highest paid reporter in New York City. She ain't sticking.
Come on now,
with retired.
Come on, you greasy,
washed up hockey dudes. Yeah. So, but you know what? I'm sure it was great while it lasted. But and you know, it wasn't going to be one of the turtles. They had like, I'm in love. You know, she's a fox, and just like all this stuff that they're just going off about, like how like hot she is and stuff. But if you know, in all my my animal biology research, I hear that turtle wangs are just the most obnoxiously sized things in proportion to their body. Do you think those
good
also,
or bad?
You tell me. You know, that's a personal preference, Michael. But you know, if you ask April, I guess. But you know, they like grow out of their shell or something like that, or come from around the side. I don't know what happens.
It's like a Shape of Water thing. It's like a detachable kind. It's like it goes in and out.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. It kind of like grows out of itself in a way. But you know, that's not going to be something that we could even consider in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, not with a PG rating. They might have gotten away with it a PG-13 back then, but you know, no.
You had to know we were going to bring it up, though. We got to talk about that turtle dick if we're going to move on in any way. And we got there. We're good.
We found a way. We made it, but nope. Casey's the one who sealed the deal.
Yeah,
I don't buy it. I don't think their relationship lasts very long.
Nope. I like the like any movie where it has like the contentious relationship at first, where it's just like, oh, you're annoying and you're annoying, and then they get together. I always like that, but I think that worked. But yeah, I think like those actors together, I just think there was something missing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just shut up and kiss me.
Yeah, oh. I got a report to do, and it's just, I love it when you're pushy, and it's like, I don't know, I don't buy it. Like this doesn't continue like this. Eventually, this becomes sincere.
You know what? One thing that you guys will appreciate that this movie really made me think of upon rewatch is the four turtles and their differing personalities reminded me of being in a band.
Oh yeah.
And like, you know, like you hate each other but you love each other. They really nailed that, where you can really headbutt your best friends, your brothers, you can not get along, but like you're gonna, when shit gets rough, you're gonna care about them, you're gonna fight for them, and then you're gonna forgive everybody. Like,
yeah,
that was a really cool relationship on how they wrote the turtles and how they made them act in that movie.
I think you're right. I think that really works. They do seem like brothers. Like even in Three Ninjas, a nice thing we could say about that is they did seem like brothers. They seem like at least the voice actors, because like, you know, and I guess we could take this time to mention like how it was wearing those costumes. But before that, I think you're right. Yeah. Like the dialogue for sure gets you like liking them as a team and liking them as like a contentious pair at times, you know, like there's the two brothers that fight all the time, maybe. And then the two that are kind of like, hey guys, why don't you shut up? And like, let's just kick ass.
It's Leonardo and Roth, and it's Donatello and Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Josh Pius said that, he's the Raphael. Josh Pius said that the noise of the animatronics in the heads of the turtle suits sounded like a Grand Central Station at the busiest it could be.
Oh God.
Like, could you imagine, like, probably one, not seeing really anything, and then just like, you know, that kind of noise just going on.
Sounds like getting a CAT scan constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
The suits were incredibly hot. Ernie Reyes Jr., who replaced a stuntman.
Surf ninjas.
Yes. He replaced a stuntman who performed Donatello stunts, said he had to drink a gallon of water just to get in the suit, because it would just be like shred right off him as soon as he got in.
Wow, man.
I mean, like all that animatronic going on, like in the head and just like the latex.
And probably the weight of it too, then jumping around and
I could only
flips.
Imagine.
Just sensory overload, overwhelming. Just, yeah, that just sounds awful.
Actually, one more thing on the suits. Like they had the whole animatronic like in the head and everything like that. And they shot some scenes like by an airport. And the radio frequency would fuck with the
so their mouth would just start going crazy.
I can't imagine like trying to like do lines or like trying to like imitate what they're saying, like, on set, and then just, like, their eye just, like, goes in the back of their head or something like that. Like, teeth, like, they, like, grow sharp teeth instead of the square teeth that they have or something.
Oh, my God.
Their teeth, their eyes roll back in their head, and then they just start moving their mouth. And now, 107.3 in the yeah.
Well, yeah. whoa.
Now we're bringing you Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
Let's get the lead out.
30 minutes of nonstop Immigrant Song.
That's not the line.
Oh. That's not the line. My favorite brotherly kind of back and forth is when they start kind of getting into it. At one point, Raph and Leo. I can't remember when exactly it is, but then Donatello and Michelangelo are like, fight. I'm going to go over here, basically.
Kitchen.
And then my other favorite thing was pork rind.
They do pair off a little bit in the movie, don't they?
Yeah.
As much as like the makeup and like the animatronics is like kind of like a step forward in all of that. Which is not used anymore, sadly. But it's still like that uncanny look to me. And for some reason, when they're meditating, it was just like, I don't know if I can watch them sit, because it just looks like a drunk me pooping. Like, and that's just like how it feel. Like, they just look like dejected and cold and like embarrassed that they have to be doing this to themselves right now, you know, like as they're meditating. It shouldn't be that way, but it seems like that.
They look like they're sitting on the toilet while also trying to lean over to the bathtub so they could drop just
oh god.
That's all they're doing. And you're right. You're 100% right. It just looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And aside from that, though, like that was a pretty like sentimental type scene, though, once they finally got into it. And that cool mentalist, like they're all connecting mentally, Splinter shows up and like, I'll always be here, my sons.
You know,
it's like, and they look genuinely sad and like, putting their arms around each other after that happened. That was a cool thing.
I gotta say, I think I've like been in that sort of state before, and I have seen a talking rat.
Oh, sure.
While on hallucinogenics.
At a bonfire.
Peyote, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Something root in the desert. Yeah. I had that. A crying Ninja Turtle might be the most depressing thing that I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you didn't tear up when you were a kid or an adult, I don't think you have a soul during this scene.
If I had like a still image of that, and like I was like, I need a good cry today, I would look at that or watch that scene. Just I'm like, that is very sad.
Yeah.
Again, I think adding to it is the music in the background of
it. True.
This is on par with like freaking Eric Clapton Slow Hand during Lethal Weapon. You could basically switch out the two.
Yeah, you hear and it's sex, and you hear that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just, I think it was a really good scene, like well put together. It was really intense and kind of, and this is that had that graininess, that grittiness, and I don't know. I really liked it.
How about when Tatsu goes back to Shredder and after the apartment fire, and how he didn't capture the turtles, and Shredder basically just like disowns Tatsu.
Yeah.
And then Tatsu, who's probably like, what, a 47-year-old dude, starts beating the fuck out of like 14-year-olds.
Yeah, dude.
In the script and novelization, that young boy that Tatsu beats up like is supposed to die from the beating, but they like added the sounds of him breathing in the movie to be like, no, he's okay, everything's fine. But I guess in the French version, like he actually did die.
Yeah.
But last minute, the movie ratings board was like, you can't have a 47-year-old guy beat up a 14-year-old and kill him.
So, PG. Like, I know we're on the cusp of PG-13, but we still can't have you do
this
that.
This will kick it over to PG-13, and we cannot do this.
We're not doing child abuse, blatant child abuse.
No matter how much I love seeing it,
I know. I mean, he deserved it, but still, come on. All right, so moving along, the turtles return to their lair and find Danny hiding out in a closet. Danny, what the fuck you get here, Danny? They let him spend the night, and April gives him one of the drawings she did of the turtles at the farmhouse. During the middle of the night, Danny abruptly leaves, but Casey Jones follows him. At the Foot Clan hideout, Danny goes to Splinter, who tells him of his time in Japan with his master Yoshi and an unaccounted-for bad man named Oroku Saki, who killed his master. Shredder discovers the two, asking where Danny's been before removing the drawing from his back pocket. He angrily walks away to gather his forces and tells Tatsu to kill the rat. Before they can, Casey and Danny convince the Foot Clan to stand down while Casey defeats Tatsu, that dick.
I feel like
large, just penis of a man.
when they go back to the lair, they're just like hanging out and waiting around. Well, one, the pizza funeral is really funny.
Oh god, what a great,
really, really funny.
You like penicillin on your pizza?
So good.
That's a good Corey Feldman impression, by the way.
He's great at that.
He's really good.
But like they're waiting around so much, the clan comes to them.
Yeah.
Like the entire time they were
going to go back to New York to get Splinter, but then they went to their lair.
Go get him.
Yeah.
You're not the Mr. the grandpa from Three Ninjas just walking everywhere. Come on.
That dude had like fucking fast travel ability or something. I don't know what
he was a true ninja.
Yeah, okay. They waited around and just hung out and like had a eulogy for a pizza so long that the clan came to them like, we're tired of waiting around for you. We know you're coming.
Yeah.
Damn.
I totally get it. By the way, after that whole thing, and I love the line. First and foremost, I love the line. You're a claustrophobic.
Could you believe your fucking ears?
Couldn't believe that's what they did.
So no wait. So what did he exactly said? He goes, Donatello said to Casey Jones that you're uncomfortable in the underground hiding out with us.
Yeah.
And Casey Jones says, I've never even looked at a guy before.
Yeah, I've never even looked at another guy before.
And like, I had to stop it and rewind it and go, wait, how did we get there?
Yeah.
Like, did you figure out it was it's a terrible place to reference.
Oh, I know.
And is the sewer like the closet in the 90s? I don't
know. So I gathered, I don't know if you're on this.
Okay. All right.
I was thinking that they were doing a wordplay on homophobic and claustrophobic.
Wow.
Yeah, like that's where I think they were going with that.
That's a stretch.
He said, you're claustrophobic. And he goes, I've never even looked at a guy before.
I think he was.
Is that a stretch? Like, I don't know.
I think it's a stretch for the script. That's your theory, isn't it?
My theory is that Casey Jones just doesn't understand what he's trying to say.
And he's not smart.
In so many ways, he thinks Donatello is calling him a homosexual.
And back then, that was like very. You don't call people
that. Whoa. Okay, whoa. I'm a tough guy.
I've proven I like sports. I like sports.
Yeah.
All kinds of them.
I play all the sports, dang it. I never looked at another guy, and that's what I think he's like kind of getting at.
That was weird, man.
Whoa, bro.
That's crazy.
And then he pouted and went up and slept in his truck.
And unrolled the window, by the way.
Get that fresh New York hair.
Yeah.
But it was a very important thing, because then he wouldn't have seen Danny sneak out, right?
That's 100%.
Splinter would have died.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Butterfly's wings. I got to say, like, every time they cut back to Splinter just hanging on that wall, it looks like a Spirit Halloween decoration. Like, you know when you like are in that shot,
I need that decoration,
and you step on like the button accidentally, and it's like
there was always smoke behind them too.
And it was always attached to a chain link fence.
It looks so goopy. It's a hairy rat.
Why is this happening?
I want to help him though. Like, thanks for coming around on this, Danny. You know, how weird was that too? I always thought as a kid, you know, when Shredder shows up and he's got his claws and he goes, you're hiding something. Yeah. And he starts at his head and goes down his arm.
Yeah.
And then finds the piece of paper. Like, I always thought like there was like a metal detector or something. Like, it didn't make any, why can't you just like reach around and grab it?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I must scan your arm with my claw.
It's very threatening.
It was.
You watch my henchman kill a little kid. I will do the same.
Not the kind of reach around. He was like,
not at all. Hey, I've never even been claustrophobic before.
That's right.
That was so weird.
If there was ever a bad moment in the music, it was probably for me. It was basically this bad poor like American Gladiators bum ba bum ba that was happening when they're like storming the castle of the sewer basically and like rushing in there or something. By the way, really, what exactly happened? They kind of set this trap for them when they basically made a makeshift gas chamber. What the heck happened?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was that? What was the deal with that? Did it scare him off or like?
I'm not sure.
Gassed him out, knocked him out. What the heck was it?
I'm like, is there like a deterrent for huge turtles like a problem in like Florida or something like that? And there's like a specific gas you can like deter them away from your house?
Well, that what happened to the foot, right?
Like like the turtles did it to the foot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did it to the foot.
Maybe it's a foot spray.
Oh, okay.
A deodorant of sorts.
Tough acting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Axe body spray for the teenagers.
Yeah, all right. I get that.
Tough acting. Boom.
Yeah. I love how when Casey Jones gets to the sewer to like help out the ninjas and everything like that. I think he's with Danny, and it's the first time he's ever seeing Splinter. And he does this pause and he looks at him. He's like, "Huh, all right." He's like, a giant rat now. Like I guess I just add that to the fucking list.
He's been hanging out with turtles. No big deal.
Where are the keys?
Let's get him out.
Fuck it. Like let's go.
That was pretty
gonna
awesome.
Need some beer after this.
What's up too with like what outfit was worse, this Foot Clan or the ninjas from Three Ninjas with like the goggles? They all have like goggle things over their eyes. These were like mesh things over their eyes,
and then they were like diagonal.
Yeah,
and so they looked like aliens,
like flies, like grays. Or something.
Flies. Yeah. I mean, in your question, definitely this movie they look better. 100%. Well, everything about this movie is better than Three Ninjas.
So do you think there was back at the Foot Clan garage, you think there was like one dedicated person who just had a shop with different sizes? So you just got you're new with the Foot Clan. What are you, like XL? Okay. Yeah, well, these fit a little tight, so you might want to go up to 2X. Yeah. Do you already have the red? Oh, Shredder hasn't given you the red bandana
yet.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, if you're in between sizes, it'll go up and it'll shrink after you wash it a couple of
times.
Yeah,
and
when your mom washes it, make sure she does not wash it on hot. It has to go on cold.
Yeah, you're going to want to do a cool dry, okay? Air dry only.
Now, could I get this dry cleaned?
That's actually preferred if you got the cash.
Yeah, okay. You've got the cash and the time, but you never know when the battle might come up.
We don't get paid anything.
Yeah, you're not going to get a stipend for that. Humanize the goons, guys.
Humanize the goons. Oh, it's a movement.
All right, you want to end this thing?
Let's do it.
Time.
All right, final scene. The turtles engage the foot in battle, easily defeating every single Foot Clan ninja. But upon facing the Shredder, he defeats them single-handedly. As the Shredder prepares to kill Leonardo, Splinter appears and challenges him to a fight. Splinter names Shredder as Oroku Saki. Saki removes his mask and touches his scar, remembering how Splinter was the one that gave it to him. In a final attempt to kill Splinter, Shredder falls over the edge of the roof into a perfectly placed garbage truck. Casey pulls the lever, knowing how to work a garbage truck, accidentally activating it and crushing Shredder. Shredding Shredder, baby. As the police and media arrive and arrest the foot soldiers, the teens tell them the location of the foot hideout. Charles is reunited with his son, Danny, and gives April her job back. Reunited with Splinter, the turtles watch as April and Casey consummate the relationship.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Fucking get down, dude.
Yeah,
we didn't really go through like the origin of Splinter and Shredder.
No, we did not.
Let's get that out of the way real quick. It's like Splinter was the rat
of
like
Yoshi.
A pet rat of Yoshi, yep. and then Shredder was like his nemesis, yep. and killed him.
Yep.
Which in those scenes too, as well as the other flashback is also 16mm, which is actually cool. I mm-hmm. like that a lot. But it also goes to show too, like if you have a rodent caged, they are learning your every single move.
Yeah.
And if you're a karate master or like a ninjutsu master, that's just what's going to happen to you one of these days. Your ferrets and everything training to kill you right now.
This is the most adorable thing to watch that rat train karate.
He was pretty good.
Fucking adorable.
It's so cool.
It was also very sad when he was alone by himself. But then he found the four baby turtles.
Yeah. Four baby turtles.
Which I think that shot, they're real turtles.
Cool.
Yeah. Turtles.
Slicing my ear.
Like my ear. I know it was at the end of the last scene, but I really there's a moment when Casey does beat up Tatsu, and he's going through the whole thing, and he's like, oh, that's gonna cost you, Tinkerbell. He's like, I don't think you're listening. And he finds that golf club and just drives him out the freaking door. But my favorite thing is all the other guys standing there, and I believe it's Sam Rockwell.
Yep, it is.
Yep. Who says, what are we standing for? Let's get him. And it's just like crickets. It's like, no.
Like, fuck Tatsu. Like, he killed my friend.
He just fucked that dude up.
I like in that same scene. Yeah, with a 9-iron, dude. Like, all the thugs are like, we have loyalty to Shredder. And then Splinter's just like, no, he uses you. And then the thugs are like, yeah, all right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they were kind of like, so do you want to use us now? What are you offering?
You are scary as fuck. Pizza menthols, we're going to need those.
You got that new Narc NES game?
Yeah, I know the fucking
Narc.
Yeah, so
where are they at in New York City?
No one knows.
No one's around.
No.
No one's on the street. There's no cars. I mean, I know, like, Detroit's pretty barren nowadays, but, like, New York City's hustle and bustle, right?
Yeah.
There's no one there.
No one.
No one there to see mutants and
there was a garbage kids. Truck driver that eventually just, like, ran away.
Surely he just gave up on his job by seeing all these dudes crawl out of the sewers. I guess I probably would, too, at that point.
Probably just ended it all himself. He's like, he just climbed back into his garbage truck. He's like, that's it for me. I think it's done.
Yep, that's it.
Snapped.
Yeah. How scary was that as a kid though when he pulled the garbage truck
super creepy,
and there was like rust and hydraulics on the arms that I thought was blood. I always thought it was blood. It wasn't.
Yeah,
but I was like, oh, that was blood. That's terrifying.
I have to speak to my irrational fears of a kid. I really thought that garbage trucks were going to be a bigger problem for me getting close to them. I really thought you could just going to be really easy to get eaten up by these fucking things. I never went out to the trash when the garbage trucks came around. I ran downstairs. They're going to get me. I'm going to fall into it somehow.
It's outside my bedroom. I know it.
It's just like this Call of the Void, like, sort of mentality. That's just like, I'm going to get sucked into it.
Did you ever
serious.
Hear the myth of, like, escalators and, like, getting sucked into those?
Yeah.
Totally. Like, you had to, like, get a good step, or my mom was like, you're going to get sucked into it and killed. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like, don't say that shit to me. Like, yeah.
We're going to have AJ's top 10 things he thought was going to be a bigger deal.
Serious, bro.
I guess this is the scary scene of the movie.
That's the spooky side of it, man.
Spooky.
Are we at the showdown?
We are. This is the final showdown.
Yeah.
Final showdown, dude.
It's the final showdown.
And none of them get a hit in except for
Leonardo's the only one that hit Shredder
with
all four of them. Yep.
But he's made of knives, so it doesn't matter.
Right. I think it just cancels it out because it's another blade.
And then
so.
a pack-a-day rat defeats him. Yeah. I don't know.
One of the most like upsetting things is when Leonardo like says, "All right, my turn," and he just runs and dives at him with two swords, and it's just like, it's like, boy, that was really anticlimactic. Because like, at best case scenario, it's just gonna dive right into this dude, two swords through the chest.
Two swords,
he
dude.
Is just and I, like, there's no comfortable landing. Like, there's nothing that's gonna come out of this. That was a terrible move. That's not ninjutsu. That is stupidity.
I also think it's like, what if it did? What if it did, like, the swords penetrated that man's body, and he's like, and he landed, and he looks back at him, and he's like, like, blood spurting out of Shredder, and he's just like, oh my god, you guys, I just want to fight, oh my, and then, like, all the turtles like, Columbus, dude, I didn't mean to do that.
Holy shit, oh my god, there's blood everywhere. Cowabunga!
They pull they pull like an Anchorman. They're like, Leonardo, you got to get out of town. You literally just stabbed a guy.
You really need to leave.
Leo killed a guy.
Are you ready for my fan theory that I've been?
Yes.
Okay, so
it's been a while. I mean, we played this whole time.
It's been a little while. So fan theory on Ninja Turtles. Obviously, Shredder has died. Tatsu is a mess with massive brain damage. Mm. A lot of the Foot Clan now, they're out of a job. They got nothing to do, right? So the heat was obviously then turned up in New York City as the police were trying to find all. They found the records of all the Foot Clan. They're trying to find all these guys. So a lot of them decide to move to L.A. as far away as they can, right? One of those Foot Clan, he was kind of the main guy in charge now that Shredder was dead and Tatsu was gone. That young man's name was Hugo Snyder. Taking everything he learned from Shredder and Tatsu, he started his own ninja company out in LA.
Wow.
2 years later, Michael Douglas, Sam Douglas was on the case trying to find him for nuclear warheads.
That's right.
You get into the nuclear arms trade, and it all goes downhill, man. Yeah. You should have just stayed with your buddies in the Foot Clan.
Put a target on your back in a nuclear game.
Man.
Just say, dove a little deep on that one.
Yeah, I love it.
That's far-fetched, but I am into it.
I'm down. I subscribe. Click subscribe. All right, great.
Click. All right. And one of them was Keanu Reeves from Speed.
Yeah.
Sean's fan theory.
So I think one of my favorite things is not falling into the trope of long-winded final victory speeches. And Splinter, in his slow drawl, 2.5 packs a day, like you say, voice is saying, "Death comes for us all." And he's just doing all this, and he's just like, Shredder has just had enough. He's like, either pull me up or let me die. And
he actually wanted to die. He knew what was going to happen. He's like,
just let me go.
So he's like an Ego Montoya. You kill my father.
Stop saying that.
Please.
And he's more or less kind of glad he let go.
Yeah. So. I don't think he expected the trash compactor, but, yeah. You know.
He figured he was going to hit the street and then his Foot Clan would take over from
exactly.
there. But
yeah, exactly. You know, maybe get carried away. Who knows?
He didn't know Casey Jones was a psychopath.
Yeah. That dude is a cold-hearted
literally
mofo.
Garbage disposal to Shredder.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And everyone's just like, nobody saw anything. Just don't check that garbage truck.
In fact, someone, you go put that in the East Bay right now. Yeah. We need to get rid of this evidence.
In fact, they tell him to go as far away as possible. Go down to the warehouse on East Johnson Street or whatever
the warehouse.
Yeah, the warehouse. You'll
find everything you need there.
Yeah. It's like, somebody better talk to me. He was the worst, by the way.
He was.
Busted his chest. Oh,
he was.
He was the worst.
I like how, after all this, the Danny is not Danny anymore.
He's just Dan.
You fucking...
Dan.
He's like, I'm going to get rid of my Sid Vicious shirts and just become a normal kid. No.
You got a long road ahead of you.
Yeah.
You don't get to just make that call.
No.
You're 14 years old. Fuck you.
I have to admit, this podcast is a moment for us to clear our conscience a little bit.
Sure.
I owned the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack on cassette.
All right.
And it was awesome. It had the MC Hammer song. This is how we do. But the best two songs were the ones at the end. Did you listen through for the credits?
Goddamn guarantee I did.
Okay, so Turtle Power by a band called Partners in Crime.
Yes.
K-R-Y-M-E.
Nice.
Here's the words, you guys.
All right. I assume this is just like Wings of an Angel kind of, you know, like Aerosmith kind of level.
It's one
lyrics.
Of the best. So here it goes. On the half shell, they're the heroes four. In this day and age, who could ask for more?
The crime
wave is high with mugging mysterious.
Totally.
All police and detectives are furious.
Yeah.
Because they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness. Get me a reporter.
Yep.
Call April. It just basically
What I would have wrote as poetry
as a fourth grader. Like they just said the whole movie out.
Written in crayon, green crayon.
And then if you didn't think that was it, then it went to 9.95 by Spunkadelic.
9.95
Spunkadelic.
You have to, if you're listening to this and you've not seen this movie, YouTube both of these songs.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they're so bad that they're fucking awesome.
You're gonna have such a good time.
I wore that cassette tape out.
I bet.
It was amazing.
I had to look up Partners in Crime because there was a striking similarity to Ninja Power from Three Ninjas, and I was like, I have to make sure.
No, nothing is that
the
bad.
Same people, and it wasn't. It wasn't. Thank goodness. But I, when looking at Partners in Crime, the hip hop duo from New York, James Alpern and Richard Usher were their names, but their stage names were DJ Keymaster Snow,
yep,
and MC Golden Voice.
And this was Partners in Crime?
Partners in Crime.
T-U-R-T-L-E power. And then just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Secret of the Ooze comes out and Vanilla Fucking Ice does Ninja.
I'm just
going
to raise this bar real quick. Dude, sorry.
That's like, it was like, I don't know, man. It was Def Jam, Ninja Turtles, like great.
Oh, it was that weird transitional phase coming out of the 80s, going into the 90s. Things were weird musically. Yeah. Like we didn't know who we were. It was so good.
It was great.
Well, I got one last fun fact for you. Cowabunga, when he said that, when Splinter's like, I always enjoyed Cowabunga. Yeah. He made it funny. I was like, what the fuck is Cowabunga? Like, how did this become such a popular term? Did the Turtles make this up?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I had no clue, so I looked it up. So apparently Howdy Doody in the 50s came up with Cowabunga, right?
Really?
In the 60s, the term somehow made its way into surfer culture as an explanation of awesomeness, you know, relating to waves.
Rad.
Disappeared in the 70s. Came back in the 80s from Michelangelo. I guess he would always say it in the comics and the animated series and now the movie. And then obviously on to Bart Simpson in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cowabunga has just been this pop culture fucking thing, man.
We need to start saying it again, boys.
You want to bring it back?
I think we need to bring it back.
Yeah. Cowabunga?
Confused Breakfast is just going to be in that lineage, I hope.
Yeah.
It turns out in the 2020s,
came back
from a podcast
weird
called
Podcast.
Yeah, nobody listened, but it's cool.
We got a lot of followers on TikTok.
Yeah. We're getting there. You guys got anything else before we wrap this up?
I'm good.
I don't think so, man.
All right, AJ, you loved it. You were clear as day. You loved this as a child. Yeah. You just rewatched this for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What's your rating?
You know what? Like, this movie, this is one of those movies that I feel like it really does stand up very well because of the way it was filmed and shot in kind of a gritty kind of way. And it wasn't like aware of itself. You know, number two and especially number three, they become like aware of itself. Like, we got to add these jokes in.
You got to say Cowabunga.
It's like, we got to put these in because we got to reference number one. It's like Anchorman 2 or Dumber and Dumber 2 or something like that. It's like you're just trying to regurgitate shit. But I think they did a good job, and this is one of those movies that's just like it was so well done. I really enjoy it, and it was still held up for me. But obviously, it didn't hold up the same way. I'm gonna give it a 7.9.
Nice.
Yeah.
Down a little bit, but still a very
still
solid score.
Great. Yeah.
You're at like a 9.4.
I was a 9.4, I think, and 7.9.
What about you, Sean?
It's such a good time. Like the animatronics and everything like that are like impressive. They're scary at times for sure. But I like the remakes and everything like that nowadays are just like the CGI stupid Michael Bay bullshit. And like, this is much more charming to me and much more like pleasing to the eye because like CGI bullshit is just like everything at once, and you're just like, it's just nothing, you know? But, like, there's some substance to look at in this movie because they made it from hand, you know? I think the cast is great. Like you said, the brotherly kind of aspect to it is really, they nailed that. It's a really fun movie. I'm going to give it probably, I'm going to say 6.9.
Yeah. This for me, is the best Turtles movie. It was dark.
Yeah.
It was way darker than I remembered, and, like, it was violent. People were unhappy with how violent and dark this movie was, but they saw how popular it was, so they knew they had to tone it down. I read that in number two, Leonardo and Raphael don't ever even use their weapons.
Yeah.
Their weapons are never pulled and used. It's more gag fights, like, I'm going to poke you in the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And like,
it really was.
Yeah, so for me, just how dark that I did not expect to love this as much as I did upon rewatch. I haven't seen it in 20 years, and I was totally wrong. I mean, like, I'm an 8 to 8.5.
Nice.
I mean, I'm not a 10 anymore, but would I watch this again? Yeah,
absolutely.
Pop it in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, there's something about it that is still very rewatchable that you don't feel like you're just backing into a kid's movie again. You're right.
Three ninjas is probably not going to happen again for me. That is 319-804-9596. It's our phone number.
Give us a call.
All your grievances.
If you like Three Ninjas, you're a piece of shit. I'm just joking.
Just really good, Adam.
I need a phone call.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm joking. So, we really hope you enjoyed this episode. It is currently on HBO Max. As of the filming of this in late February 2021, it's also apparently scene by scene on YouTube with a really fucking sick rap video at the end of it. AJ will give you the link if you really need it.
I'll shoot you some links.
And continuing with the weekly content, tune in next Wednesday. We're going to bring you another amazing information-filled mini-bite episode. We'll be exploring one of the best kids' television game shows ever. Do you have it?
Guts!
Yes. Ooh. We didn't even plan that. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back to reviewing classic movies, heading into one of Sean's picks, Sylvester Stallone's best film? Question mark?
Perhaps.
Over the Top. Yeah. So don't miss out. Stay caught up.
And that's what it is.
And of course, like we said in the intro, we do have that new feature where you can call and leave us a voicemail. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. Real name, fake name, whatever. Leave us a voicemail, 319-804-9596. We're going to read it. We're going to play your voicemails on the air at some point and you know, let you dig into us. So
be literally a part of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, so AJ, take us out. Tell us how they can find us.
The best ways to find us, guys, exist right now in existence in the moment that you're listening to our voice off the platform that you're listening on. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, everywhere you can consume podcasts. We're probably there for the most part. But make sure you are dropping us a line with a review. And you can also call in now too. What's that phone number again, Mike?
319-804-9596.
There it is one more time for you. leave us a review though too on any platform that you're listening on. 5 stars, thumbs ups, subscribe, and write something down, right? And other than that, make sure you're following along on Facebook. You've got facebook.com/confusedbreakfast. Twitter, Confused BFast, Instagram, Confused Breakfast, and the ever-growing TikTok, Confused Breakfast.
That's it, right?
Nice. Yeah.
Where can everybody find you at, Sean?
SeanPryor237 on Instagram and TikTok. Get at me.
Age?
Guys, anywhere on social media, AJAYVENS, AJ Venz, anywhere on social media.
I just started a new website called TatsuIsAPetterAss.com.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He had to go door to door, tell everyone he's better.
What's a petter ass? So I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga.
Deuces. Yeah.